song we're going to sing is on page 457 in the hymnal. I don't know if you guys know this song. I love to tell the story. It's an older one. A lot of the younger folk don't know it. But it's something, it's a song that we think is really apt for what we're going to be learning today. How to share your personal story. And we should love to tell our story.
Amen.
How Jesus saved us.
457.
Now we'll sing three verses. 1, 2, and 4.
I love to tell the story of Jesus dying. Of Jesus and his glory. Of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, because I know it's true. It satisfies my longing, as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my home in glory. To tell the old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all the golden dreams. I love to tell the story, it is so much for me, and that is just a reason I tell it now to thee. I love to tell the story, will be my theme in glory. To tell the old story of Jesus and his love.
Verses 4.
I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when it sees the glory, I sing the new song. 'Twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory.
Some more people come in. Hi, Fabian, right?
Fabian.
Oh, it's really nice to meet you. We met Fabian at the cooking school, right?
Yes,
oh,
yes.
Wow, thanks for coming.
Hi. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Welcome.
Well, now we're going to just open up for some testimonies, just a few short ones. Mm-hmm. Does anyone have a testimony from the week where God just worked in your life, or just really anything you want to testify about the love of Jesus? I have one. Can I tell one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, it's from today, actually. Me and Mark were working in some apartments on, what's the street? It's really near where Chad lives, if anyone knows where Chad lives, in that little cul-de-sac. It's the apartments right across from that. And I was telling Irma this earlier, and Mark too. I met this lady, Jill. And it was just a really great experience, because after talking for some time, and getting to know her. She invited me into her home. She just kept, and I actually mentioned that we were doing Bible studies as part of our curriculum for school. And she kept saying over and over again, wow, I've been waiting for someone to study the Bible with me. I've been waiting for someone to come. I've been waiting for you to come. And I was like, whoa, this is really crazy, because I've never had an experience like that before. But it was just awesome to see someone that was actually waiting for someone to come to the door and ask them to study the Bible right here in Carson City. It was really a blessing to just encounter Jill and find someone that was just so ready to study the Bible. Amen. Does anyone, do you guys have a testimony?
Anybody else?
Well, I can share a testimony just about how God blessed in the cooking school.
Oh, amen.
Well, I want to share how Jaunty, this was her first time doing cooking school. And it came out pretty, for the first time, we thought it was pretty amazing.
It was pretty, I think all 3 days together, there, and this is like all different kind of, all 3 days, there was about 75 visitors, different people. All 4 days. And at least 25 non-Adventists. So that was pretty great.
Yeah,
that was a pretty good turnout.
That's a pretty good outcome.
Praise God for the first time. But hopefully it will keep getting better and better and better and better. All right. And does anyone else have a short testimony they'd like to share? If not, we'll go to our next song.
We wrote our opening song. It's actually in our Bibles.
Mm-hmm.
So open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 6
through 9. So if there's a Bible in your pew, if you don't have yours on you, but it's a scripture song. We love singing scripture songs at Souls West because it helps you learn to memorize the Bible, and we love that. So it'll be 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9.
6 through 9.
And we'll be singing from the King James Version. If you know it, Andrew, Abraham, please sing it loudly so we can all learn it together. All right, ready?
For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Does everybody get the tune?
For the first part?
I know
first part?
For some of us it might be the first time, but we're gonna, like, repetition deepens impression, so we're going to try again.
2 Corinthians 4, verses 6 through 9. So this is the chorus first. Verse 6 is the chorus of the song, and we start off with the chorus. So let's try it again as we learn it. Ready?
For God who commanded the light to shine out of dark has shined in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Verse 7.
But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. 2 Corinthians 4, 6, and 7.
All right, that was really good.
We'll just do those first two verses for now. Tomorrow we'll learn the rest of it. But that's 2 Corinthians 4, 6, and 7. So
Amen.
We'll just do those two for now.
All right.
So we're going to start with the topic for today, which of course is how to share your personal testimony. And as we begin, I'm going to share my personal testimony just as an example, okay? So I know how this works. All right, good practice for tomorrow. But first, we have a quote.
Yes. We have a powerful quote that it really impacted everyone. Like, it really impacted me. And so I want to read it to you guys. And it's found in Desire of Ages. How many of us have ever been a witness before? Or how many of us have ever given a glow track to someone before, or maybe baked the bread for someone, or cooked something for someone, been a blessing to someone. How many of us have ever been a blessing to someone? How many of us have ever received a blessing from someone else before? I know I have. I know many people have had in the past before. And so we want to begin with a quote here. And before we begin, let me grab my glasses. I have old vision. Okay, so now I can see. So here it says, our confession of his faithfulness is heaven's chosen agency for revealing Christ to the world. We are to acknowledge his grace as made known through the holy men of old, but that which will be most effectual is the testimony of our own experience. It goes on to say, we are witnesses for God as we reveal in ourselves the working of a power that is divine. Every individual has a life distinct from all others and an experience differing essentially from theirs. God desires that our praise shall ascend to him, marked by our own individuality. Then it goes on to say, these precious acknowledgments to the praise of the glory of his grace, when supported by a Christ-like life, have an irresistible power that works for the salvation of souls. And that's found in Desire of Ages, page 347, paragraph 3. And just to see it from the Bibles, how many of us brought our Bibles? I want to show it to you from the Bible. If you can go with me to the book of Philemon. Philemon. It's right next to Hebrews. Philemon, there's only one chapter. So chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 4 through 6. Philemon, it's right after Titus, and it's right before Hebrews. The book of Philemon, chapter 1, looking at verses 4 through 6. Here Paul talks about something so powerful, about sharing your testimony and how the testimony can be effective. Look at verse 4 through 6. Philemon chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. Is everyone there? Amen? Okay. It's the book right before Hebrews. So look at verse 4 through 6. The Bible says here, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So here Paul is talking about how we all have testimonies. We all have testimonies that God has blessed us with. Many of us think, sometimes we think that God didn't give us a testimony. Well, the fact that you are living today is a testimony. The fact that God gave you life today, that he gave you breath to breathe, is a testimony. It's a powerful, it's something divine that none of ourselves, like we could do. Like, for example, like, can we give divine breath to someone? We can't, right? Only God has the power to give us the breath of life each and every day. And here Paul says that when we share our testimonies to one another, it can be effective only if you dwell on the good things of Christ, if you dwell on the things that Jesus Christ has done for you in the past. So in other words, think of the things that Jesus has done for you in the past and dwell upon those things and share those things with other people. Isn't that a blessing? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. With that, Joe is going to share us his own testimony.
Amen. And that wonderful note. Okay, so I just wanted to acknowledge everyone up that's come so far. So we have Fabian, our house parents, Thrive, Dean. I'm still learning everyone's names, that's why. So that's Lynette and John in the back. And then Kathy, Karen, Betty. Okay, I'll remember that for the rest of my life. Kathy, Carrie, and Betty. Oh man, I already forgot. You think my mind would be fresh at this age. Kathy, Karen, and Betty. Lynette, John, Fabian, Dean, Bethany, House parents, and thrive. Okay, good. Okay, I got it. So, to begin my testimony, I was born in Honolulu, Hawaii, 1990. It's the same place as Mark, actually. But when I was at a really young age, I moved to Las Vegas, Nevada. And everyone knows Las Vegas, Nevada as being the city of what?
Sin.
Lots of sin. Because of various things, unsavory activities. And I grew up Adventist, actually. My parents were Adventist, so I was, I call myself a lifer. And even though I grew up Adventist, that doesn't really mean that I was Adventist in my heart necessarily. It took me a long time to come to God through various things. There's school, of course. School did a lot to kind of mess with my mind, and living in Sin City as well. I remember I used to like playing video games a lot. That was something I think a lot of youth like to do. I used to like playing video games a lot. And you know, thinking back on it, that was kind of fun. But it's better now. And I remember meeting a lot of different people. I met Jehovah's Witnesses sometimes and Mormons that tried to explain the Word of God to me, but they didn't really reach my heart. They believe some weird things too. Forget about them. But I met God because of colporting. That was really fun, and now I'm here. So praise God for that. And a Bible verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And whomsoever shall believe in Him shall have everlasting life. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Joel, for sharing your testimony. That was very lovely to share with everyone. How many of us have ever shared their testimony before with others? Amen? Okay. Well, can anyone tell me something positive about Joel's testimony? Something positive. Something positive that he said.
Wasn't good?
Yes.
Wasn't good?
Yeah, that he finally found the right track to get on.
He finally found the right track to get on. Okay, amen. That's a good point. Anyone else? What was something good about Joe's testimony?
He smiled a lot.
He smiled a lot. That's a good point. He smiled a lot.
Okay.
Very enthusiastic.
Let's just cut to the chase.
Okay. So
that was painful.
Okay. So basically... Joe gave his testimony. What we want to do is... remember the example of Joel's testimony? Okay, that's an example of what not to do.
It was painful. That was.
It was very painful for Joel to share that. And probably most of us were probably like, what in the world is he talking about? If you notice something in Joel's testimony, he kind of brought out more about the things of the world rather than his conversion experience. You guys notice the difference? So he talked about living in Las Vegas, how it's known for a city of sin. It's kind of like amplifying or blowing up the things of this world and where he came from. And then right when he came to meet Christ, it's like, and then I met Christ. It's kind of like all this like excitement, blah, 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 the sin, the world, blah, blah, blah. I did all of this, and then I met Christ, I went canvassing, and now I'm here. It kind of sounds like that, right? And so what we want to teach you guys is we want to teach you some principles about sharing your testimony. At this time, the Thrive team will pass out the handouts that we printed out for the team. Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And we're just saying that because sometimes we hear testimonies where that's what happens, is there's a lot of glorification of sin and before Christ, and they really just go into like the nitty-gritty details of how their life was before Christ, and then we have maybe like that's like 5 minutes worth of the testimony, and then there's like 2 minutes worth of how I met Christ, and maybe 10 seconds worth of what I'm doing now for Christ. And we see that a lot when people give their testimony. It's very very it's more common than you think, which is kind of scary. So this is why we gave that bad example first. One day I'll give my real testimony. That's the bad example.
So if you guys have your handouts, we're actually going to go over the handouts really quick, and we're going to actually go through the principles that we have on the page. If you notice the handout, there's a front and there's a back. One side is where you fill in the blanks. You fill in your own testimony, and the other side is where you have principles on how to share your testimony. We're going to look at the principle side first. As we go over that, we're going to look at some key points, some key elements that could help us to improve or I guess improve sharing your testimony, making your testimony more effective, that it would bring more glory to God rather than to self. Because many times in the testimonies, we bring glory to self or the things of this world. And that's not the purpose of the testimony. The purpose of a testimony is to bring glory to who? To God. Amen? So we're going to go over some key principles in here. And the first one that we have is we want to keep it Christ-centered. We want to keep it Christ-centered, number one. Number two is we want to keep it short. As much as possible, keep it short. You're not preaching a sermon. You're just giving a little short snippet of how God led you in the past, how he led you to meet him, and how is he leading you now. Just basically answer those three main questions. And then you want to keep it short, Christ-centered, glorify God. Amen? The third thing that we want to do is we want to share it with loving enthusiasm. Now, when Joel shared his testimony, was it a loving enthusiasm? Kind of little, maybe little, no? Probably not, right? Joel could have put more, I was going to say emotion, but Joel could have put more enthusiasm in his personal testimony to kind of like make it livelier. Instead of like a boring blah, 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 and then I met Christ. So we want to share it with loving enthusiasm. Number four, we want to identify with the person as much as possible. What does this mean? Does any of you guys can take a guess? What does that mean? Identify with the person as much as possible.
You're talking to one person.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make it experience.
Yes, yes. For example, say I met a guy who is from Hawaii, and he was in the military. The way I would make it personal is I would be like, "Hey, I was actually born and raised in Hawaii. Which part in Hawaii are you from? Are you from the west side, the north side? Are you from Pearl Harbor? Or are you from the Big Island?" You want to make it tailor make your testimony to them. Or even just say, like, "I was actually in the army myself. What was your job in the military?" Lynette, I saw your hand.
Yeah, one thing I noticed when Joe was giving his testimony, he didn't really make much eye contact.
Okay, good.
In addition, and when you're wanting to identify with someone, mm-hmm. and you want it to be believable,
mm-hmm.
eye contact is important.
Yes, amen, amen. Eye contact is definitely very important. So we want to identify with the person as much as possible, relate to them, connect with them as much as possible. That's number four. Number five, before sharing it, please make sure that you practice and even memorize your personal testimony. For example, like, you don't want to be the person to be like sharing your testimony and then you're like, "How did I come to Christ? Wait, let me grab my phone. Wait, let me call my friend and see how did I come to Christ?" You know what I mean? You want to memorize it. You want to know the specifics in your testimony, in your life, how God has led you in the past and how he has brought you here to today. So practicing it beforehand and then also memorizing it as well, that would be very beneficial to your testimony. Here's some things of what not to do, and you can follow along in your worksheet as well. Number one, don't use language that people can't understand. For example, religious jargon. For example, can anyone give me an example? Anyone can give me an example?
Three angels
messages, right? Yes?
People often say, an E.G. White wrote.
Yeah, okay. Or say Pathfinders. How many of us heard of Pathfinders before? For someone that is not in the church before, they don't know what Pathfinders is. Or camp meeting, you know, or like GYC, or Haystacks, AFCO, Weimar, health, the health message, the right arm. Some people don't know some terms like this. So you want to make it simple enough to where they could understand it as, you know, simple as possible, easy as possible. Number two, what not to do, don't glorify sin. Don't talk about the things of this world. Make sure everything that you talk about brings glory to God. And just show how God has led you in the past.
Can I ask you something like that?
Yeah, go ahead.
You can talk about the past, because, you know, some people have the past where I was alcoholic before, and then I met God, and he brought me out of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you don't want to dwell on that so much, because sometimes you find people that are like, "Oh, I was alcoholic, and I used to drink this much, and and I did it every single day, and I drank Jack Daniels, and I drank scotch, and I drank whiskey, and I like doing it, or something like that. You really don't want to emphasize it like that. If it's part of your testimony, obviously you want to mention it, but again, like Mark was saying, you want to have it bring it back towards God, and not dwell on that so long that the rest of your testimony is lost.
Mm-hmm. And that's promoting.
Sometimes you can end up promoting what you don't want to promote, which is sin, rather than God.
Yeah.
I heard of stories of people giving testimonies, and a young kid who went with his father to a place where they were giving testimonies actually got the idea from someone's very vivid testimony and started doing it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow, that's crazy. Okay, so basically the principle is if you're going to talk about the things of this world, make it general. Make it general, don't make it specific. Where you want to come out specific is how you met Christ and how where you are today as well in Christ. And so for the things of this world, how you, like, you know, for the past, make it very general. You don't have to pull up details and like, I drank 17 of this, or, you know, for 18.96 years, I did this. Very general and brief, okay? Number three, don't speak negatively of other churches. Isn't that a good point? You know, many times we come from, you know, different backgrounds or different faiths or different churches, and we come into a new environment, and many times the temptation is to point back at the churches in the past that you came from and to say, you know, they're a bad church, they don't hold the truth, and you know, I don't ever go to that church. You know, we just have to be watchful of the things that we say to people, you know, so, you know, we want to glorify God. We don't want to, you know, put other people down as much as possible. We're going to look at the structure of a personal testimony. It's basically simple. It's four steps. There's a before Christ. There is meeting Christ. There is an after Christ, after, you know, you've met Christ. And then there's a scripture verse that goes along that sums up your testimony that you had, you know, from Jesus, from God. And so we're going to look at these things. Before I go into my personal testimony, let's pull up our sheets. And if I could have someone read the first one where it says, my life before Christ, could someone read letter A? Any volunteer to read letter A?
Mention specific sins that you before you received Christ as your Savior.
Okay, so mention specific symptoms that plagued you before Christ. What's a good example of that? Can anyone think of a good example? Things that plagued you before Christ.
Alcoholism?
Yeah, alcoholism, or, you know, addiction to a certain type of sin, or, you know, something else that, yeah, I got arrested, I went to jail, I did nine years in prison, you know, something like that. Computer games, that's a good example.
Gossiping.
Mm-hmm. Can someone read letter B? Someone read letter B.
Describe the fears, uncertainty, inner anxieties, emptiness, enslavement to sin, the hopelessness and unhappiness that possessed you in this world before you came to know Christ.
Okay, so again, with that in mind, you want to keep in mind as well, make it general. Don't make it specific and glorify sin. You want to tell things like say I was in the world and I did drugs and I did it for 13 years and it enslaved me to the type of environment that I grew up in. I came from a divorced family. I'm not saying this is me. It's just an example. Can someone read number two, how I met Christ, letter A? Letter A. Any volunteers?
Describe your conversion story of how Christ called you out of this world and into his marvelous light.
Okay. Letter B, I'll read it for you guys. It says, mention specific things that led you to Christ, perhaps people who had a part in it as well. I'm sure there was people in your life that were chains to the link of your salvation. Like they were the people that were very influential in your life that brought you to Christ. Mention those names. Mention people like that. For someone, it could be, yeah, it was my father that brought me to Christ, or it was my mother that brought me to Christ, or it was this family down the street who was very poor, but they took care of me, they sheltered me, and they covered me in their home. Letter C, it says, what was it that drew you to Christ? Think back of what was the key thing, what was the moment that drew you to Christ? Was it a sermon that led you to come to Christ? Was it an appeal that the pastor made at a church? Or was it a book that you read? Or was it a glow track that you just looked through quickly? Think of the little things. Or maybe it doesn't have to be even books or pastors. It could even be accidents. How many of us have ever had an accident before? Like a car accident, or like an accident where you injured your body, you had a broken bone before like that. Think of those things that was life-threatening to you, that was, in a sense, a wake-up call for you to come back to Christ. If I could give a good example, my brother, he's 20 years old. Well, he was involved in a very serious car accident. About 3 years ago, him and his friends were driving in a car, and the driver was drunk. Keep in mind, my brother was in the world. My brother wasn't drunk. The driver was drunk, and the other passenger driver, they were drunk too. So they're driving on the road, and they were coming around a turn, and the car slipped. The road was, it was rainy. The car slipped, and they lost control, and it went off the guardrail. And as it went off the guardrail, the driver flew out of the windshield. So he flew out of the windshield. The passenger flew out the side of the driver's side window, and my brother stayed intact in the back seat. And the two people, the driver and the passenger in the front seat, the driver was blind in one eye, completely blind. The passenger, he was completely paralyzed from the waist down. He was paralyzed, and my brother was the only one that wasn't wearing a seatbelt. He wasn't wearing a seatbelt, but he remained in the car. And as I looked at the pictures, the car was split in half, like a banana. You split in half, and my brother was in the back seat. The front went off the cliff, and my brother stayed on the road, and he survived. He survived it. And for him, even though it was a terrible accident, it opened the door for him to come back to God. It was like his wake-up call to come back to God. And he started to pray for the very first time. And he called me up. He's like, Mark, help me, pray for me. I don't know what to do. Like, I'm stuck. I need help. And so imagine those things. Number three, we're looking at our study guide. Three, letter A. I'll read it real quick. It says, mention such things as, this is, you know, your life after meeting Christ, the peace that you have found, the forgiveness from sin, and the release from guilt, the joy of knowing that you will live forever in heaven, the health and happiness, the love that has come into your life and home, the genuine friendships that you have been able to establish with others, the fellowship of God's people, the new perspective you have gained in your life, the presence and power of Jesus to help you through times of difficulty and deliverance from fear, the fortitude with which a Christian can face old age, terminal illness, and even death, etc. So that's your life after Christ. And then last but not least, the scripture verse. It says there in letter A, use an appropriate scripture which sums up your life, or one that you can relate to as well. So with that in mind, I'm going to share my personal testimony with you guys. And then after that, we're going to give you time to write your own personal testimony. And if you guys need pens, the Thrive team will get you some pens to fill out the things. So with that, we're going to share testimony. If I have my Bible. All right, let me start. My name is Mark, and I was born and raised on the beautiful islands of Hawaii. And I was born into the Adventist church. My mom was Adventist. My father was Catholic. And so growing up, there was a kind of a struggle between which church to go to. Many times my father would say, come to church with me on Sundays. Many times my mom would say, come to church with me on Saturday service. And so I would end up going to church on Saturday and Sunday every week. To the point when I was around 18 years old, I was tired of this. And I said, I can't stand this anymore. I need to leave this. So after I graduated from high school, I decided to leave my family, to leave my friends, and to leave religion. It was kind of like a rebellion against God. And with that rebellion, the first thing I could think of is join the military. So I ended up joining the military at age 18. So right after high school, joined the military, went to Fort Benning, Georgia, and there I was stationed there doing training, and also in South Carolina, Fort Jackson. And during those times, it was very kind of like a freedom for me, but inside, deep down, there was like something missing. Even though I went to the parties and I drank, you know, the bad things, hanged out with bad friends, bad influences over me, all these things, I had a very good job making, you know, right around $5,000 a month at age 18 or 19 years old. There was something missing. It was like something lacking in my life. And I realized I needed Jesus. And when I realized my need of Christ, at that time, I've wasted all my money. I had around like $40,000 as a 19 year old. Wasted all that $40,000 within a year, all in the things of this world. And at my lowest point, when I was down to my last $100 in my bank, I guess I was getting poor, you could say that, and I was in the military. In that desperate need, I cried out to God. And I was like, Lord, help. I need help. I don't know what to do. At that time, things got worse. I lost my job because someone higher ranking than me got my job. They could do it better. And so I lost my job and went back to school, and like things were falling apart. During that time, someone gave me a phone call. His name is Taj Pakleb. I don't know if you guys ever heard of Taj Pakleb. He's an evangelist, and I grew up with Taj in Hawaii. Now, Taj was a best friend to my brother, to my half-brother. And he would always, you know, talk to me when I was smaller. But for the majority of my life, you know, he would never talk to me until that very day. He gave me a call and he said, hey, Mark, I'm going to be in Hawaii. I'm going to do a prophetic seminar and I want you to come to check it out. To the point I said, nah, Taj, I don't want to. Like, I don't need this. It's like, and Taj he pleaded with me so much to Mark, you need to come. You need to show up. I ended up going just to help him out. Went the first night. After the first night, I was like, touched by God, just by the first message that God loves me. That's the very first message that Taj preached. And after that, I started to come back the night after night. I probably missed maybe two or three nights. In the long run, I ended up giving my life to Christ. Amen. Gave my life to Christ, and I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? I started to pick up the book, The Great Controversy, El Conflicto de los Siglos. I also picked up the book, Peace Above the Storm, or Steps to Christ. And some in A Desire of Ages. I started to read those books in conjunction with the Bible. And as I read those books, they were the books that changed my life. It was, of course, Jesus changing my life through the words in those books. And as I got to know Christ more and more, I started to realize that God loves me so much. Now, where's my life now? Now I attend a Bible college called Souls West. It's in Prescott, Arizona. And before that, I was actually going to Weimar College, and I was studying to become a minister, studying to become a pastor. And about three to four years ago, I had a phone call when I was in the world still. And my father told me, he was like, son, I want you to come back to God. And I'm like, Dad, what do you mean you want me to come back to God? You're already away from God. Why are you telling me this? And he's like, no, son, like, I just had this change of heart, and I know that God is real and that he loves me, and I want you to come back to God. I want you to become a minister. So I said, Dad, no way. Dad, I'm in the military. Like, I make $5,000 a month. I don't need God. And he's like, no, son, I really love you. I want you to come back. The very next week, I get a phone call from my mom, and she says, hey, Mark, I want to just let you know that your father just passed away. And so my father passed away, and the last words that he ever said to me was those words that he told me. He's like, I want you to come back to God, and I want you to become a minister for God. And so I ended up losing it at first, but it drew me closer to God. It brought me back to God. Even at the funeral, when I lost my dad, even at the funeral, I said a little speech. I forgot what I said. But my uncles and my whole family from my dad's side, they're all in the military. They're all Catholic. They came up to me, and even some, they don't even know God. They're atheists. They came up to me and they said, Mark, thank you so much for saying what you said. From now on, whenever you speak, please give us a call. We want to come and support you. We want to come to church and hear the word of God from your mouth. And I was just blessed. And the verse that sticks out to me the most is Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Where it says, for we know that all things work together for good to those that love him and who are called according to his purposes. So we see that sometimes bad things happen to us, but God has a very special plan for us. For me and my family, all he was trying to do was unite my family and take me out of the military. Amen? My dad was in the Marine Corps as well, but it opened the door for me to get out of the military. And as I was coming back to Christ, you know, I dealt with the Sabbath issue, and you know, things was very, very rough. But it opened the door for me to come out of Christ and to go to school to become a minister. And so I praise the Lord for God giving me this testimony to share with you guys. Amen. I hope it can be a blessing to you guys. So with that, I want you guys to fill out the information on the paper. There's four blank things that you can fill out, which is before Christ, how you met Christ, and what is my life like after Christ, and then also end with a scripture verse. We're going to give you about, let's say, 10 minutes, 5-10 minutes, and go ahead and fill it. Take time to fill out the information, your personal testimony, and at the end, we'll choose a couple of people to share their personal testimony. Does that sound good? All right, who needs a pen?